Introduction. The United States was founded on ideas. The documents in this collection embody those ideas, which Americans debated, defended, and defined over the course of one of history's most eventful centuries, and continue to define, debate, and defend today. These documents are not antiquarian curiosities, but form the living core of the United States. The battles of Quebec, 1760, and Gettysburg, 1863, the largest land battles fought in North America, frame this momentous century. Having secured an empire with France's defeat at Quebec, Britain's Parliament set out to govern it. Taxing their North American subjects and regulating their trade provoked them to a rebellion, which became a revolution, establishing that people could be governed only by rules they made themselves. At the dedication of the cemetery at Gettysburg in 1863, Abraham Lincoln hearkened back to the founders bringing forth a new nation and called on his listeners to ensure that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not perish from the earth. Parliament began its attempt to govern by regulating trade in sugar, the British Empire's most lucrative commodity. Produced by slave labor in the West Indies, sugar was processed into rum on the North American mainland, which also built ships to carry sugar to market, as produced codfish, beef, corn, wheat, leather, and wool to feed and clothe the West Indian labor force. Under the Sugar Act, the trade's benefits accrued to the empire. The new taxes most impacted wealthy sugar merchants. The next year, though, Parliament followed with a Stamp Act, taxing virtually every printed document, newspapers, 1 pence per sheet, today 85 cents, and almanacs, 2 pence, advertisements, 2 shillings, today roughly $24, subpoenas, and other court documents, 1 to 10 shillings. College students would pay £2, $450 today, for a diploma, and lawyers, £10, $2,250 today, for a license. Printers and lawyers, two groups Parliament had avoided antagonizing, were not alone. A pack of playing cards had a shilling tax, and a pair of dice 10 shillings, about $100 today. The tax provoked a violent response. A Boston mob destroyed a warehouse on the rumor stamps were inside, then destroyed the lieutenant governor's house when he objected. It was not simply the tax, but the principle that a parliament which did not represent them could tax them. Only their own elected representatives had this power, a principle they knew from their long experience and Magna Carta. Not all members of the Stamp Act Congress, which met in New York to draw up a protest, opposed the Crown or Parliament, but all supported American rights. In response to their protest, Parliament repealed the Stamp Act, but also declared that Parliament had the power to govern the colonies in all cases whatsoever. A wise piece of legislation, Benjamin Franklin said, if no one tried to enforce it. But Parliament did try. New tax laws provoked Philadelphia Quaker John Dickinson to write the Farmers' Letters, arguing that Parliament could regulate trade, but could not tax the colonists. Anticipating resistance to tax laws from non-Quakers, Parliament sent troops to defend Boston's tax collectors. The troops killed 5 colonists in a 1770 riot. Parliament rescinded all of the taxes, except on tea. In 1773, colonists in Charleston seized the taxed tea, and Bostonians destroyed it. Parliament shut down Boston's port and suspended Massachusetts government. Massachusetts summoned another Congress in 1774, which called on the colonists to stand together and take the power of government into their own hands. They also petitioned the Crown to intercede against Parliament's overreach. Congress planned to meet again in May 1775 to hear the King's response. To prevent organized resistance, royal governors suspended the assemblies. Delegates met instead as conventions or provincial congresses. Virginia